Guten Morgen, sehr geehrter Herr Bundespräsident,
Federal President, Ms. Büdenbender, Federal Chancellor, President of the Bundesrat, President of the Federal Constitutional Court, ladies and gentlemen, excellencies, colleagues. Berlin in May 1945, the Tiergarten Park devastated, the Reichstag building charred, the dome burnt out, many windows bricked up, an attempt to prevent the building from being stormed, the facade riddled with bullet holes, and right here, in this place of desolation, an end was in sight. Fighting had raged here for days. The Red Army soldiers were already on the upper floors, while German soldiers were still in the cellar. The disaster, the darkest chapter in German history, had begun, amongst other things, with the emergency decree after the Reichstag fire in 1933. And it ended here. Like no other image, the ruins of the Reichstag symbolize the end of World War II and the end of Nazi terror. The Second World War was the most brutal war in human history. The German occupiers committed war crimes almost everywhere in Europe. In Eastern and Central Europe, they waged a racist war of extermination aimed at wiping out entire peoples. Shortly after the invasion of Poland in 1939, the German occupiers deported and murdered tens of thousands of teachers, priests and doctors, the backbone of Polish society. Far too often, the suffering inflicted on Poland has gone unmentioned. The occupiers also raged in present-day Belarus. Villagers were locked in their homes and pelted with hand grenades. Even children were left to burn alive. Nazi terror also raged in the big cities. Leningrad was to be starved into submission. For more than 2.5 years, the Wehrmacht cut off all supplies to the people. More than 1 million people died. On the outskirts of the city, the bodies of the starved, frozen and fallen piled up. Even today, not everyone is aware of the monstrous extent of German crimes. Or worse still, many people no longer want to think about it. Countering this tendency is also a purpose of the commemoration on the 8th of May. First and foremost, the spring of 1945 meant liberation for those who had suffered most under Nazi terror, the prisoners of the concentration camps. Every year, on the 27th of January, we commemorate all victims of National Socialism. The memory of the Holocaust alone, however, does not protect us from new antisemitism. Antisemitism has many faces and narratives. While we are still invoking never again, again is already happening, now, on our streets, on the internet, and even at universities. Those who remember the past must also translate it into the present, into action today. Ladies and gentlemen, Germany planned, unleashed, and waged the war. And the war returned to its perpetrators with destructive force. Millions of Germans wandered around in 1945, fleeing their homes. Their possessions were reduced to a handcart. It became a symbol of the fate of the displaced. People lived in ruins and barracks. In the final weeks of the war, they hid in cellars from bombs and, depending on the region, from advancing troops. women and girls in particular. They are the often overlooked victims of every war. Perhaps the greatest burden was borne by the women of the nations. Their suffering, their self-denial, and their quiet strength are all too easily forgotten by world history. These were the words of Federal President Richard von Weizsäcker in his famous speech on the 8th of May, 40 years ago today. Of course, women were not blameless during World War II. But women and girls in particular had to endure a great deal of suffering and sexual assault, both during and after the war. Ladies and gentlemen, we must not forget, because even the children of the women affected have not forgotten. I would like to read to you from a letter recently sent to the German Bundestag by a daughter who is 82 today. And she wrote, "As an eyewitness to World War II and to the rape of my mother on the Czech-Saxony border in the summer of 1945 during the violent expulsions, I would like to urgently request that this year, on the occasion of the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II, we finally remember the women who were victims of sexualized war violence and who, to this day, are victims of violence and armed conflicts because they are women. Your words moved me deeply. Thank you, Ms. Schon, for writing to us, and thank you for accepting my invitation and allowing us to welcome you here today on the Visitors Gallery." And thank you for your letter. Thank you for coming. And you asked, when will there finally be an official commemoration of the women who were victims of sexualized war violence back then and who continue to be victims today? Dear Ms. Schon, the answer is today. The suffering of women was simply suppressed in German post-war society. There were hardly any opportunities for those affected to talk about what they had experienced. Shame prolonged their suffering. How many were broken by it? It is time to give these women a place in our memory, to acknowledge their suffering and also the incredible strength with which these women fought for survival and made a decisive contribution to reconstruction. Monika Hauser, founder of a women's rights organization, summed it up with the words, "The men didn't ask their wives what happened to you in the war, so that the women wouldn't ask, and what did you do there?" How did these Germans, both women and men, feel in May 1945? Shocked, desperate, many also relieved, but liberated? In the occupied and soon-to-be-divided Germany, only very few felt that way. In the propaganda of the GDR, that is, in East Germany, May the 8th was celebrated as Liberation Day from the outset, but at the same time it was misused to justify new oppression. It was not until after a strained process of confronting our past within families and within society that we Germans were able to realize that the military defeat was, in fact, also a liberation. Even today, memories of World War II and of the end of the war are still so important, including in our regional newspapers. In recent weeks, for instance, in the Rheinzeitung newspaper, I have read some very moving memories collected from readers. A 98-year-old reader who wrote about simultaneously feeling everything after liberation. Great anxiety, happiness, and an immense gratitude for having survived the horrors of the war as a young man. Stories like these from local communities, from our hometowns, from all over Germany, help us to better understand the period of Nazi terror. It was May the 8th that made our reorientation towards democracy possible and gave it a special meaning. A democracy in which all Germans can now become involved. Who could have imagined in 1945 that a freely elected parliament would ever meet again here in the Reichstag building? What an unlikely turn of history. The Reichstag building is a good memory, ladies and gentlemen. 80 years ago, many soldiers wrote the names of their hometowns on the walls. In Cyrillic letters, you can see words like Leningrad and Kursk, but you can also see Yerevan, Baku, Kyiv, and Donbass. The Red Army soldiers didn't just come from Russia. They came from many different republics of the Soviet Union, including Ukraine. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow in Moscow, we will see victory parades intended to justify today's war against Ukraine in the name of the liberators of yesteryear. What an abuse of history.
Bucha, Irpin, Mariupol.
Once again, girls and women are victims of sexualized violence used as a weapon of war. Ladies and gentlemen, today many citizens in Germany are preoccupied with the question, can the war return to us too? For a long time, we felt that we and peace were untouchable. Now we have to rethink things again. In order to preserve peace and freedom, we must be able to defend ourselves militarily. The 80th anniversary of the end of the war is about remembering, and at the same time, about our mission. Those who have been liberated are obliged to defend their freedom. That is the mission of the 8th of May. Thank you very much. I'm delighted to say that you have followed our invitation, three young people who will be reading short texts from contemporary witnesses, read by young people who volunteer for the German War Graves Commission, voluntarily. And I would like to express my sincere thanks to Tankred Zuckau, Sophia Wegener and Karl Wittek. Good to have you here. I am very glad that you are so committed.
Aus der Chronik, uns geht's ja noch Gold, von Walter Kempowski.
Uns geht's ja noch Gold, we're still doing fine, by Walter Kempowski. If I leaned forward a little, I could see everything clearly from the bedroom window. Opposite was Paulstraße. The fire had reached that far during the so-called catastrophe, as people called the attacks of 1942. Before the catastrophe and after the catastrophe. Now it would be called before and after the collapse. I knelt on the couch and looked through the windows. White flags hung from all the houses, as if they were all bunkers surrendering. Across the street, at Mr. Kramke's, there was even a red one, a so-called forest of flags, as they would have said in the old days. A motorbike with Russians stopped at the corner. The Russians started joking with an Eastern European worker. She pointed to our house. Get away from the window, my mother said. They'll notice you. Are they gone? No, they were still there. She wondered what would happen next. So far, we had got through it all right, not bombed out and still alive. And Dad, we'll see, it would work out.
Abwarten und Tee trinken.
Wait and see.
Aber Russen,
but Russians, who would have thought it? Couldn't the British have got there sooner? Just a few more kilometers?
Wie gut, dass man im zweiten Stock wohnt.
How good it was that we lived on the second floor. If Russians really did come into the house, they would have to pass the Becker's abandoned apartment, where they could rummage around undisturbed. That would certainly satisfy their urge for action. The motorbike drove away. The noise had already become unbearable. I tied a handkerchief around my sleeve and went out into the street. Watch out, son, don't go too far. You hear me? In Friedrich-Franz-Straße, a dead horse lay with its legs stretched out. It was one of the Wehrmacht's horses, and two old men were carving it up. They placed the pieces of meat neatly in bowls, the liver here, the lean bits there. They would make goulash out of it, but season it well, otherwise it'll taste sweet. The Russian army rolled down Hermannstraße. A Soviet soldier, wearing a raincoat and with a balalaika in front of his stomach, waved them in. A long line of vehicles. Up in the hatch was a tank soldier, wearing a cap on his head. They didn't look left or right, just kept going. No time, no time. A concentration camp jacket, blue and white striped, hung on the fence. The father mentioned in Kempowski's novel was long since dead, but in the hopes of his loved ones, he was alive, at least for a while. My name is Tankrit Zukau. I'm 25 years old. My generation bears no guilt for what happened in World War II, but we do bear responsibility. My encounters in international peace projects have shown me that reconciliation can grow out of this responsibility. Reconciliation and even friendship, if one faces up to that responsibility.
Darauf hoffe ich.
Aus dem Buch Weiterleben, eine Jugend von Ruth Klüger.
Die Zeit unserer Flucht war die Zeit der letzten, schwersten. The period of our escape was the time of the last and heaviest air attacks. Germany, the scourge of Europe, was scourged in turn. Her great cities set afire. Together with their bombs, the Allies dropped leaflets, asking the civilian population to surrender or to resist the Nazis. Nothing could have been less effective than these slogan-filled messages delivered by the hated, screeching, anonymous death machines in the sky. People contemptuously tossed the leaflets aside, even though they had ceased believing in the propaganda line about a German miracle weapon that would lead to final victory. And then one day they came, the Amis, the Americans. We had spring weather, and they had taken over the streets by advancing with their tanks and jeeps. There hadn't been a battle. The long nightmare, the 7 lean years since Hitler's army invaded my homeland, that too without a battle, were suddenly over. We had arrived. We hadn't planned any further than this moment. The three of us walked to the center of town, looked at each other in amazement and asked, what now? My mother, determined to try out her English, walked up to the first American uniform in view and told him in a few words that we had escaped from a concentration camp. Since I knew no English, I couldn't understand his answer, but his gesture was unmistakable. He put his hands over his ears and turned away. My mother translated. He had had his fill of people who claimed they had been in the camps. They were all over the place. Please, leave him alone. There was warm sunshine on my bare arms, which from now on I didn't have to cover up to hide the Auschwitz tattoo. And I could use my real name again. It was a great occasion. But I was glad we had freed ourselves and didn't depend all that much on the victors, because my imagination had provided a more colorful picture of the great hour of liberation. Here was my first American, and he deliberately closed his ears. One thing I figured was certain: this war had not been fought for our sake. My name is Sophia Wegener. I'm 21 years old. Ruth Klüger's text showed me how important identity is. With only a few means, her personality was reduced to a number. Only after years of humiliation and persecution did she regain her dignity and her freedom. If your great-grandmother knew that you were interested and involved in this, this was my family's reaction to my involvement in remembrance culture. It is important to me to keep alive the memory of the dangers of tyranny. They must never be forgotten.
Am 1. Januar 1945 spricht Thomas Mann im Radio.
Thomas Mann spoke on the radio. There is no Nazi victory. Everything that looks like one is bloody nonsense. These people live under the incomprehensible delusion that since dominion over the earth has eluded them once and for all, they could wear out the Allies through protracted resistance and force them into a negotiated peace, a peace with them. A peace between Russia, America, and Great Britain, and Hitler and Himmler. A peace in which the Nazi regime would continue to exist. Do you believe that? The world needs peace. Ergo, it has no need for National Socialism, which has no other meaning or purpose than war, which never meant anything other than war. Never before have the interests of a nation and its rulers been separated by as broad a gulf as the one that gapes between you Germans and your rulers today. Here, the people, whose cause would be peace and reconstruction, there, the power-hungry wretches who are shackled to war, who have no hope beyond war, and for that reason strangle with a slow rope anyone who wants to rescue Germany, who wants to return to it the right to the idea of peace and reconstruction after immeasurable devastation. On May 8, 1945, Thomas Mann wrote, "Germany's capitulation declared. Message to the German people. The enemy's superiority in terms of men and material obliges you to lay down your arms. Germany is to remain calm and start a new life, if only the latter were meant honestly. Is this day a day most solemn in nature? What I feel is not exactly euphoria. Of course, the present German government is only episodic, an instrument of capitulation. But incidentally, this or that will happen with Germany, not in Germany. And so far, there has been no disavowal of Nazism, not a single word to say that the seizure of power was a terrible misfortune, and to allow, to encourage it, was a crime of the first order. The disavowal and condemnation of the deeds of National Socialism, inside and outside, and the declaration of a desire to return to truth, to law, and to humanity. Where are they? My name is Karl Witek. I'm 19 years old. Before the war ends, Thomas Mann talks about how important peace is. But when the war ends, he admits that he doesn't feel euphoria. I think of my grandparents. They too were happy that the war was over. But the war had taken their home and almost all of their relatives. Although they never talked about it much, the war had a profound impact on my family history. In my volunteer work, I am committed to ensuring that war and violence are not forgotten, so that we can learn from the fates of those who had to experience it and live in peace in the future.
Du weißt ja, wir haben immer damit gerechnet.
Aber
es ist doch schwer zu ertragen,
but it's still hard to bear when defeat is suddenly there and we have lost. Ladies and gentlemen, defeat is hard to bear. Those are the words of Helga Felmy, born in 1911, in a letter written on the 8th of May 1945 to her husband, a pastor and prisoner of war. Her letter is amongst the documents collected by Walter Kempowski that reveal the German state of mind at the zero hour of the war's end. Madam President of the German Bundestag, Federal Chancellor, Madam President of the Bundesrat, President of the Federal Constitutional Court, esteemed members of this House, distinguished guests, fellow citizens. Germany lay in ruins on the 8th of May 1945, the day of its unconditional surrender. Cities transformed into an endless sea of rubble. Instead of houses, mere heaps of debris and skeletons of half-fallen walls. Lone buildings still standing by random chance alone. Memorials jutting out amid the destruction. Bridges blown up by the Wehrmacht as signs of a fanatic war waged all the way to utter downfall. Entire regions laid waste. Berlin has practically ceased to exist, said the BBC reporter Thomas Cadet in a broadcast from the city. We've all seen countless images of this day, German soldiers disarmed by Allied forces, squatting with their arms behind their heads, their faces now fearful, blank, baffled. Survivors staggering like the undead through the remains of bombed-out cities. The bodies of those for whom liberation came just days too late. Images of bullet-riddled wagons from the German refugee convoys out of the east and strewn all around them, clothing and everything that once was part of a home. The Second World War was nothing other than a ceaseless horror, humiliation, persecution, torture, murder, genocide. By the end, there were more than 60 million people dead in Europe, 6 million Jews murdered, 1 million homeless and uprooted, abandoned, broken, wounded, starving.
Und doch, auch das gab es,
and yet, there was also this, hope and gratitude. We repeatedly experience a great feeling of relief and gratitude at now having really survived all this danger, wrote Viktor Klemperer, still incredulous in the last days of the war. The great scholar, humiliated, disenfranchised, persecuted, could finally hope to have escaped his extermination. It was Germans who unleashed this criminal war and dragged all of Europe with them into the abyss. It was Germans who committed the crime against humanity that was the Shoah. And it was Germans who were not willing and not able to throw off the yoke of the Nazi regime themselves.
Daran erinnern wir.
This is what we Germans remember today, 80 years later. We know that this day profoundly shaped our country. We're all children of the 8th of May. Ladies and gentlemen, on the 8th of May 1945, we were liberated. Today, 80 years later, our profound thanks still go to the Allied soldiers and the European resistance movements who mustered all their strength and endured great losses in order to defeat the Nazi regime. We will not forget this.
Unser Dank gilt Amerikanern, Briten, Franzosen und all denen,
Americans, British and French and all those who joined them in the fight against Nazi terror. We also know what the Red Army contributed. Russians, Ukrainians, Belarusians, and all those who fought in it. At least 13 million of these soldiers and just as many civilians lost their lives. The Red Army liberated Auschwitz. All of this we will not forget. But precisely for that reason, we stand firmly against the historical lies now being told by the Kremlin. Even if the assertion is repeated tomorrow at the Victory Day celebrations in Moscow, the war against Ukraine is in no way a continuation of the fight against fascism. Putin's war of aggression, his crusade against a free democratic country, has nothing in common with the fight against National Socialist tyranny waged during the Second World War.
Am Ende ist diese Geschichtslüge nichts als eine Verbrämung.
At the end of the day, this historical lie is nothing other than window dressing for imperial delusion, severe injustice and the most heinous crimes. Even and especially on the 8th of May, it remains the case that we support Ukraine in its fight for the freedom, for its democracy, for its sovereignty. If we left Ukraine unprotected and defenseless, that would mean abandoning the lessons of the 8th of May, ladies and gentlemen.
Zutiefst dankbar sind wir heute 80 Jahre später auch für die Versöhnung.
Also profoundly grateful for the reconciliation, the trust that so many countries graced us with after the war, for the reconciliation with our neighbors, Poland and France, for the miracle of reconciliation that Jewish communities around the world as well as the State of Israel gifted to us. We Germans cannot be grateful enough for this gift of reconciliation.
Allein reicht eben nicht aus.
And yet, gratitude is not enough. It can never and must never leave us indifferent when, in our country, of all places, anti-Semitism once again shows its face.
Es ist geschichtsvergessen, es ist unerträglich,
it is unbearable when Jewish people are made to no longer feel safe in our country. Unbearable not just for Jewish people, no, unbearable for our democracy. There must be no place for anti-Semitism in our society, and it is our duty to ensure this. Ladies and gentlemen.
Meine Damen und Herren, 1945 kam die Befreiung von außen.
Liberation came from outside our country. It had to. Most Germans remained loyal to the regime until the very last day. And by no means all Germans felt gratitude for liberation. They did not even see themselves as having been liberated.
The 8th
of May 1945 was for our country the beginning of a long road to freedom and democracy. The Western Allies opened up this road for the people in what became the Federal Republic of Germany. In the East, meanwhile, freedom was kept out of reach as the Soviet Union paved the way for one-party rule by the Socialist Unity Party and for a new dictatorship. But we Germans first had to liberate ourselves internally in a lengthy, painful process, a reckoning that left wounds, including between the generations. The truth is that in the German Democratic Republic, while anti-fascism was official state doctrine, there was for a long time no deeper reckoning with history. The truth is also that the new Federal Republic of Germany initially refused almost any reckoning with the past and, above all, long refused to punish the perpetrators. Instead, many who had been loyal servants of the Nazi regime took up new state offices. In both East and West, it would take years, indeed decades, before we Germans fully faced up to the torturous questions of blame and responsibility, before families talked about what had happened, about who had known about the crimes yet looked away, about who was guilty yet had kept silent.
Der Satz von Richard von Weizsäcker, der 8. Mai war ein Tag
von Weizsäcker's statement that the 8th of May was a day of liberation in his historic speech on the 8th of May 1985 was, if we remember correctly, not uncontroversial, even 40 years after the war's end. And yet it marked a turning point in our approach to our past. Federal President Weizsäcker was speaking for the Federal Republic of Germany, but his words resonated in the German Democratic Republic too. And today, another 40 years later, the Day of Liberation on the 8th of May has become a core part of our collective German identity. And yet we are not celebrating this 8th of May today in a spirit of calm self-assurance, because we can see that freedom is not the grand finale of history. Freedom is not guaranteed for all time. Today we therefore no longer need to ask ourselves, did the 8th of May free us? We have the answer and it continues to stand, but what we have to ask ourselves is whether we and how we can stay free. Ladies and gentlemen, 80 years on from the end of the war, the long 20th century has definitely come to an end. These are the words of Ivan Kastev. The lessons learned from two dictatorships and two world wars are now fading. The liberators of Auschwitz have become new aggressors. By unleashing war against Ukraine, Putin has shattered our European security order, which we had hoped was a lesson learned once and for all from the horrors of war. The international community had drawn its conclusions from the war of extermination and genocide, had introduced rules to curb nationalistic ambitions and to foster cooperation, and created an international order on the basis of international law. Right, all of this was, I admit, never perfect, never uncontroversial. But the fact that now even the United States, who did so much to shape this order, is turning its back on it, is a shock on an entirely new scale. It is no less than a double epochal shift. Russia's war of aggression, the U.S. break with its values, that marks the end of the long 20th century. Both fascination with the authoritarian and populist enticements are once again gaining ground here in Europe too, unfortunately, and doubts in democracy are being voiced aloud in a number of European countries. We're seeing with horror that even the world's oldest democracy can rapidly be endangered when the judiciary is disdained, the separation of powers is overridden, and academic freedom is attacked. We are looking at our country, where extremist forces are gaining strength. They deride the institutions of democracy and those who represent them. They poison our debates. They play on people's concerns. They profit from fear-mongering. They turn people against each other. In so doing, they bring old evils back to life.
Meine sehr verehrten Damen und Herren,
members
wer Gutes für
of this
dieses
house,
Land will,
ladies and gentlemen, those who want good things for this country will protect our coexistence, our cohesion, and the peaceful balancing of interests. This, ladies and gentlemen, is what I expect of all Democrats in this country.
Werte Abgeordnete, wie können wir frei bleiben? Wie bewahren und schützen wir unsere Demokratie?
How can we preserve and protect our democracy, dear members of this House? Amid this epochal shift that I mentioned earlier, we cannot carry on as usual when it comes to remembrance. The 8th of May still has a great deal to tell us, I believe. I really do wonder sometimes about the obstinacy with which some people, regrettably including some in this House, demand that we draw a line under our past and our responsibility. But what is that really supposed to mean?
Ich wundere mich, wenn einige Erinnerung als Schuldkult diskreditieren. Was soll das eigentlich?
I am amazed and wonder if they say remembering is highlighting the guilt and playing it up.
Wollen wir wirklich den Überlebenden des Holocaust, die heute
But what is that really supposed to mean? Should we forget what we know? What would we gain by that? Do we really want to choose to withhold our solidarity from Holocaust survivors who view the present day with grave concern? Do we want to be a country that recalls only its supposed glory days and plays down the darkest chapters of its history, even denies them outright? Do we want to be a democracy that forgets where it came from and what is at the core of its identity?
Meine Damen und Herren, umgekehrt wirklich auf die
and
Erfahrung
then on the other hand, do we really want to forego the
das
knowledge that fanatical nationalism can be overcome?
Nationalismus überwunden werden kann? Wollen wir auf die Erfahrung verzichten,
peace can follow war?
Frieden folgen kann? Dass Frieden
that
und Demokratie
peace and democracy
auch Wohlstand bringen,
also bring prosperity.
Dass die Aufarbeitung unserer Geschichte uns Anerkennung und Respekt
that our efforts
in der ganzen
to come
Welt
to terms with our past have earned us respect and recognition around the globe. Would we be better off if we were to forget all that we have experienced and simply divest ourselves of the memories like a set of old clothes? Over the past 80 years, we have in fact repeatedly seen the strength that lies in shared remembrance. The experience of the Second World War of suffering, destruction, persecution, terror, death, displacement. This is deeply ingrained in the collective memory of the Europeans, although the events themselves become more distant each year. Experiences are passed on from generation to generation in families in France, in the UK, in Belgium, Italy, and the countries of Eastern Europe. Babinyar, Ur-Sur-Clan, Koryukivka, Mark Sabotto. I myself have seen this time and again at commemorative events as survivors and relatives of Nazi victims tell me of their pain and nevertheless shake my hand as a sign of reconciliation. I was deeply touched when recently in Warsaw, to commemorate the uprising 80 years ago, a survivor took me by the hand and said, Poland and Germany are friends today. That is something I could never have imagined.
Ich will sagen, meine Damen und Herren, es ist so
ladies and gentlemen, my
viel,
message is we can achieve and
können,
have achieved so incredibly much by way and through reconciliation. My request to you, dear members of this House, is let us keep working to this end.
Gerade weil wir uns erinnert haben, ist nach 1945 aus den Trümmern des Zweiten Weltkriegs ein neues geeintes Europa
erwachsen. That had learned lessons from the catastrophe. It had learned the values of peaceful coexistence instead of inimical antagonism, cooperation instead of a free-for-all, respect for international law and universal human rights. These choices brought us decades of peace, freedom and prosperity. And I firmly believe that facing up to the past does not mean foregoing the future. Our past is not a prison in which we are incarcerated. It is not ballast. holding us down, also not those of us born after the events. Far from it. It is a precious treasure trove of experience with all its highs and lows for us, a key for us, for our children, our grandchildren, with which we can unlock the solutions to present and possibly also future crises. And that is why it is so important at this of all times to make sure that the experience of dictatorship and war, and likewise the experience of reconstruction and reconciliation, is passed on from generation to generation. Why should we have to go through the pain of learning and experiencing anew something that we have already learned and experienced so bitterly in our German past?
Ich bin überzeugt heute mehr denn je, wir haben so vieles gelernt aus unserer Geschichte, was uns zu dem gemacht hat,
our past, which has made us what we are today.
Geben wir nicht leichtfertig preis,
let's not carelessly relinquish that which made us strong. Let's not run from our past. Let's not throw its lessons overboard at the very time when the place, at the very time when they place demands on us, ladies and gentlemen. I believe that that would be cowardly and wrong at the same time. I'm deeply convinced of this.
Einen Schritt weiter gehen, frage ich.
Taking it a step further, let me ask, have our history, our experiences not in fact prepared us particularly well for the tribulations of these times? We cannot sleepwalk into anything now. We know where isolationism leads, where aggressive nationalism and contempt for democratic institutions can end. That's how we lost democracy in Germany once already. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, let us trust in our experience and let us stand up for our values. We mustn't be paralyzed by fear. We must instead assert ourselves. When others lapse into nationalism and seek to assert their interests through brute force, we have all the more reason to join together with our partners to seek joint solutions, simply because it is right. When others cast doubt on the United Nations and violate international law, we must uphold these institutions, because it is right. When the Zeitgeist harps on about disruption, it is obvious that what's behind this is really just an unwillingness to set out how and why change can be brought about.
This
unwillingness to abide by rules is not a promise to everyone, and the same applies to the relationship of states between themselves. If we abandon all these rules, that would result in a future in which the strength of the law no longer applies and the law of the strong returns with all its brutality. This cannot and must not be the path we take.
Und wenn andere Demokratie, Freiheit und Recht einschränken,
freedom and rights, we are quick to take a stand. When the doubts about these values grow in our country too, let us demonstrate that each and every individual can live a better, a freer life in a democracy than under any kind of authoritarian regime. Let us convince as many of the doubters as possible. Let us win them back for our democracy. Yes, democracy is never completed. Yes, it is an arduous journey. It requires dedication. But there, ladies and gentlemen, but there is no better system of government.
Und, verehrte Abgeordnete, wenn neue Kriege uns heute Sorgen machen,
if new wars are causing us concern today, we, above all, we are the very last people who should lose sight of peace. We know where war leads, and we fear it for good reason. Peace thus remains our guiding principle. But peace does not reign simply if we exercise restraint. If we refrain from strengthening our own defense capability, for we face a harsh reality. And we must do everything we can, together with our European partners, to stop Putin's land grab. We must show that democracies are not defenseless victims. We must increase our military strength, not to wage war, but to prevent war, not as a substitute for diplomacy, but to make it more credible, with an active foreign policy which does not abandon the diplomatic field to those who only seek to increase their own power, pursuing their own interest. And wherever we can be useful, we should be active, ladies and gentlemen. We, Germany, is needed to help restore peace where it has been lost. That, too, is what remembering the 8th of May makes incumbent upon us.
Zum Schluss, meine Damen und Herren, heute an diesem
Let me conclude, ladies and gentlemen. Today, on this 8th of May, we are a different country from the one we were 80 or even just 40 years ago. We are a country that has had the great fortune to experience a peaceful revolution and reunification, a diverse and open country. Our past provides not only the blueprint to prevent a catastrophe, the past also tells us of the miracle of reconciliation between Germany and Israel and how Jewish life became part of our country again. It tells us of how in 1989, the people in Eastern Europe and the GDR overcame the division of Europe and gained freedom. It tells us the incredible success story of a country that came back from the total collapse, including moral collapse, and again came to enjoy freedom, economic strength and prosperity, earning international respect and even understanding. Who would have thought such a thing possible on the 8th of May 1945? Ladies and gentlemen,
wir dürfen diesem Land vertrauen.
We can trust in this country, and we can trust in ourselves. We are all children of the 8th of May. As Jürgen Habermas once said, a sentence that expresses hope and inspires hope, defiant hope, hope in spite of everything. Nobody from outside can give us our freedom today. We have to stand up for it ourselves. We know what steps need to be taken. And we know that it is always possible for something new to begin. Yes, indeed, we are all children of the 8th of May. With that in mind, let us protect our freedom. Let us protect our democracy. Thank you very much.
Dankeschön.